Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host, and today we have got this amazing lady. Her name's Kim Minch, and she is a certified parent coach. Now, I know in my days of when my children were young, boy, did I need some help there. And of course, we didn't have internet. We didn't have this opportunity to be able to connect with people that can help us in this way. But what I really like about Kim is she's really into the intuition side of things too. So a lot of her coaching and her parenting skills have come from her intuitive side, but her intuition. And it's allowed her to feel what she needs to do and get a deeper understanding of things. But that's enough from me. I want to say, I'll give you a little short bio on Kim. She's, like I said, a qualified coach. Now, she's got obviously got her own mum. She's got her own children. So she has not just researched and understood and learnt this in the logical sense, she also has lived it. And look, I'm not going to go too much. She's got a book coming out. We're going to talk about that at the end. You'll be really pleased with this one. But I'm going to introduce you to Kim because I've got to stop talking and she can do some talking. So welcome on board, Kim.
Hi, Susan. I'm so glad to be with you today and to talk about all things intuition and how it's guided my path and, you know, talk about the book as well. So,
yeah, it's going to be great. Okay, so what I want you to do first of all, Kim, is just sort of give us a rundown of background. Like, why on earth did you go down this path? I mean, coaching parents, oh, I could have done with you a few years ago, I can assure you.
Oh, well, I think that my path and my journey to this consciously parenting other, or consciously coaching other parents, really started with my own challenges as a mom. You mentioned that I have kids, and I do. My kids at this point, it's hard to call them kids because most of them are taller than I am, and they range in age from 16 to 33 at this point. But I was, to go back a little bit and kind of talk about how intuition has led me to where I am today. I was raised in a very upper middle class, private school, family had, you know, vacations and whatnot kind of environment. My mom was stay at home, my dad provided. I have two younger brothers. And I had a very, what I would call normal upbringing. And I went to college. And my first semester in college, I ended up pregnant. And that really changed really a lot for me. Obviously, it was a very emotional time. And it was a time when my parents and my family, my grandparents and whatnot, were all telling me that I needed to give my child up for adoption, that at age 18, I wasn't capable or ready to be a mom. And I had always loved babies. I had done a lot of babysitting growing up. However, I knew that it was a huge step, obviously, to become a mom at such a young age. Well, during my pregnancy, there was a lot of ups and downs and turmoil, of course. And but there was this feeling inside of me every time I thought about giving this baby up, giving it to someone else to call mom. And I could never get past the upsetness of that. And so I went against my family's better wishes for me and did the hardest thing up until that point in my life to do and made a decision to have my child and to raise him. And because of that, my dad was very clear on I wasn't allowed to come home after that. So as an 18-year-old who's not had any any exposure to government assistance or whatever, I left my family home and figured out how to live on $360 in food stamps. And that was really, really life-changing. But also, I never, ever regretted the decision to do that. So I was with my son's father for the first couple of years, and it ended up being an abusive relationship. And I think in part my parents knew that it wasn't a good relationship for me, and that's probably why they also were, you know, telling me that I should give the baby up for adoption. When my son was 2 or 3 years old, I decided that it really was not a good relationship for me. So I left the relationship. However, what I didn't realize until many years later was the abuse that was directed towards me when my son's father and I were together then got directed towards him. And I didn't find that out until many years later. Suffice it to say, I moved on. I married my husband. I've been married 29 years, and together we have 4 children. So my son was a little 3 and a half when I got married to my husband, and we had, you know, all these kids come along, and life is busy and crazy and whatnot. And I noticed that my son in his early teens was very anxious, and he had a lot of fears and worries. And as his mom, I knew enough to get him into counseling, but not enough to keep him there. He was resistant to it, and I didn't know how to navigate at the time. It being my first child, you know, I just didn't know what to do. So bottom line, he was resistant, so I pulled him out of it. And many years later, and obviously it's a much longer story, but my son at the age of 20 ended up calling me from across the country. We had moved to Texas from our home state of Wisconsin, and my son had stayed in Wisconsin. He was starting college, but he called me one day to say that he had lost the last 3 days of his life to an alcohol binge, and it wasn't the first time, and he needed help. So that moment, that phone call, is what I call my parenting wake-up call. That was for me. I knew during his teen years there was something going on, but we had a decent relationship, and he would come and talk to me about troubles and stuff like that. But there was a lot he was hiding, and there was a lot that, because he was going in between two very different households, I didn't know. So he called me, and he needed help. And that 2-year time period after that phone call was a lot of very big up and down challenges with him in terms of trying to help him find long-term help and sobriety. He had landed in jail a couple of times, and it just was a really, obviously, a difficult time for me as a mom. And during that time, I was really trying to figure out, I didn't have any friends who had a child as old as mine and the kind of trouble that he was in. So while they were sympathetic listeners, they didn't really know how to help me. My mom was very close to me during this time period, and she was a great listening ear. But I was really trying to go with my gut in terms of what's the next right step for my son. And to not go down that rabbit hole too far, I will say that there was a couple of years, like I mentioned, that were a lot of ups and downs. And but then he did find sobriety in May of 2010. And so this year he celebrated, in May of this year, he celebrated 11 years of sobriety. So
amazing. Well done.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the thing about it is there were some very, very dark moments when, of course, I didn't know what was going to happen next to him. And Susan, one of the most beautiful parts about that time period was I had 4 kids and a husband and a lot going on, and I would go to bed at night and I wouldn't allow myself to have any emotions until my husband was snoring next to me, and then I would just cry and I would cry myself to sleep and just, yep. You know, and one morning during probably one of the darkest times of this 2-year period, I woke up. I hadn't had a dream, but I woke up with a knowing that I was not responsible and couldn't control. I clearly didn't have any control over what was going to happen with my son and if whether or not he was going to get in a car accident, get in a car, hurt somebody else. He many times over would drink himself into, you know, oblivion. So what I felt when I woke up was, I don't know why Nick is in this world, and I don't know what his soul is here to evolve through. Clearly, I don't have any control, but perhaps my role is not to try to control, but rather to love and encourage and support him where he is and not enable the behavior in any way. So that's what I took away. And while it was very difficult, that's what remained in my brain during that time period, is that as a parent, I have no idea why my child has come into the world through me or to me, you know, but my role is to support and encourage without enabling the destructive behavior. And when I see the destructive behavior, I have to hold space for what he might be learning in the process of something I never wanted him to experience.
Yeah, it's such a fine line, isn't it? Having that understanding between enabling and supporting, it's incredible. Oh my goodness, I take my hat off to you. And I don't wear a hat.
So he has found long-term sobriety. But that wake-up call really caused me, and I'm not sure why, I can't pinpoint why, other than I became more conscious and intentional in my life. And by that I mean, when this happened, my youngest was 4 years old, and we were in the car taking one of her brothers to baseball, and we were listening to the radio, and there was a Rihanna song on, and it was very inappropriate. And my daughter started singing it at the top of her lungs. And I thought to myself, okay, she doesn't know what the song is about, but she's internalizing that message. So that day, I turned off the popular music station and turned on the Christian radio station, simply because I thought, if she's going to internalize anything, I want it to be about, you know, something that's good for her rather than some other message. So it started with music. And then I found myself really wanting to, really questioning, really beginning to observe and question in my life the TV I was watching, the movies I would go to, even the social activity in our free time that my husband and I were partaking in. I really began to, like, and this didn't happen overnight. It happened over time. I began, like I said, to become an observer in my life and ask if what I was ingesting, just like my daughter and singing those lyrics, if what I was ingesting was who I wanted to be and how I wanted to live my life.
Yeah. And we're taking it on board all the time, aren't we? We're taking this information on, and we're so unaware of it when we're doing that. And if we're taking it on, obviously our children are taking it on as well.
Right.
And the cycle just continues until someone stands up and goes, no, no more. That's enough. We've got to change something. And it's those small steps, one at a time, that's allowed us to do it. And, you know, I didn't even think of the music and things like that. It wasn't until later on that actually my kids have turned around and said it to me. I used to put a tape on, and it was I can't remember who had it or anything. It was every day and in every way I'm getting better and better. And I put these on, and these were those, you know, personal affirmations, these feel-good things, I would put them on. And my kids still remember them. And so they were in the car playing, because I didn't do it against what they were listening to. Like, you acknowledge that you didn't like that. I didn't acknowledge that, but I did acknowledge that I wanted something better. So there's those two different aspects of it. And so I would start putting on these type of positive affirmations and things like that that were on the cassette tapes in those days. How old's that?
Yeah, old.
Yeah.
It was a while ago. Yeah, so I just became more aware. I became, and I gotta say, there's still areas of my life, like I have, and then I think it went into books. I really, like, I've always craved books. For years, I have craved books that I will only read something that I feel I will be a better human being in one way or another by the end of the book. It's either somebody's personal journey that I can learn from or some kind of development of myself. But that's another shift I made, was kind of away from fiction and into, you know, reading about other people's lives and how to better myself. I shifted out of some friendships. I shifted a number of things that I would do in my free time. And I think really, I don't know if it was part of, you know, just getting older, but also really, again, just asking myself, who am I and how do I want to show up in the world? So one of the things that I decided to do, I had told you that I got pregnant in college in my freshman year. And when Nick kind of gained some traction and got into a sober situation for himself, I decided to go back to college, thinking that my mission was to work with teenagers who had substance abuse issues. So I graduated from college with honors. I passed our state exam on becoming a licensed chemical dependency counselor. And I started on my 4,000 internship hours. And about 1,000 hours into that, I decided that working with teenagers who didn't think they had a substance use problem was not where I wanted to go with this, but I really loved talking to and supporting their parents while the child was in treatment. So about that time, through the magic of Facebook, I heard about parent coaching, and I didn't even know that was a thing, but I decided to look into it. And when I looked into it, I thought, you know, I want to help parents before there's a problem, before there's a crisis. And the biggest challenge that I face even today, 5 years into my business, is that just like me, until it hits you over the head, parents don't necessarily like to work on themselves and the relationships with their kids. But I'm telling you, it has been one of the most fruitful things that I have done over the last 12 years was to work on myself and the limiting beliefs that I took on about myself as a child that played out over and over again in my relationships to my kids and in my relationship to my husband, until I did the work of looking at those. And that's the work I do with women now.
Wow. So you're actually helping them you're helping them with their limiting beliefs, and then that in turn is helping them with their relationship with their child or children.
Yes. Yes. So the coaching that I do is not so much give me the three-step process to getting my kid to listen to me. It's about mom looking at herself, because our children are mirrors to us, and their behaviors trigger us. And there's always a surface feeling with that. Like, you may be overwhelmed, frustrated, stressed out, disappointed, whatever it is with your kid on the surface. But there is something deeper going on underneath the surface that is about you. For example, a mom who feels so disrespected and not listened to, absolutely her children may not be listening to her and she's frustrated and upset. But deeper than that, that behavior, the reason she's so triggered and so reactive to it is because typically she was not heard or seen as a child. And so she's feeling, now that she's in the parent or adult role, that this is her right to have this child listen and obey, because that's the generational pattern of dominant parenting that we've all, not all of us, but a good portion of us have grown up with, was better to be seen. You know, you may be seen, but not heard. And I truly believe that our kids today are coming into the world more sensitive, there's more anxiety and depression and even suicidality at times because, this is not to blame parents, they're calling us to evolve the way that we relate to them, to one of with them rather than over them. this is what they're calling us to do. And like I said, I truly believe my kids and lots of other kids are really coming into the world in a more sensitive, open-minded way, and wanting us to come alongside of them rather than dominate over them. It's especially during the teen years, the more you try and dominate and control and talk rather than listen, the more go around you're going to have with your adolescent son or daughter.
Wow. Yeah. And it's very, very true. My children are all in their 30s now, so I'm doing okay. I can enjoy the grandchildren now and play and hand them back. But yes, I have to be honest, there was that time there where I probably didn't do it because of my children, but I did it because of my relationship. And because my relationship was so out of whack, I started working on myself. I knew I couldn't change him and what he was doing and how he was looking at things. So I had to change how I did it. And so in that change, I think it allowed me to also reflect better with the children as well. Because I had 3 in 3 years before I worked out what was causing it and stopped. I'm a bit of a slow learner. I get where you're coming from. So it's not necessarily what the triggers are, but these are some of the triggers that we can look at. And if it's the children are young and you're not feeling that there's a problem there because they're too young, like you say, adolescence is when we really notice it. But if there's other situations that are triggering those feelings, then we need to look at it. And a lot of families now have mixed, then a lot of families are mixed. They might have, you know, two families that have come together.
Yeah, blended. Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine, I can imagine the triggers that are, the buttons that are pushed is what I call, the buttons that are pushed because I raised my children a certain way and my partner has raised his children a different way. And so there's these conflicting aspects happening and lots of triggers. So I'm actually currently going through, what am I doing? What does it look like? How is it? You know, why is this so different to when I raised my children? Why is it looking so different? And yeah, what you're saying really, really makes sense.
The thing that I wanna say here is that we defer to what we know growing up unless we consciously look at it. So I was parenting very much the way I was raised, and so does our partner typically, right? We can, I mean, my husband and I have very much in common, but we parent very differently, and that is based on the way that we were raised. And so, like I said, you know, I think that but this generational pattern of parenting over our children needs to evolve. Everything else in the world changes. And so this now is the time for us to, and that doesn't look like friendship. I get, you know, I think people sometimes think that I'm saying, no, well, there's no rules and just let the kids do whatever they want. That is definitely not what I'm saying. What I am saying is where we can to allow them some choice in their lives so they can build their own sense of self. To as they progress through their adolescence, through their teen and into young adult years, that we are listening to understand who they are rather than running an agenda through them. And so a lot of times moms will come to me because they're stressed, they're frustrated. The child that they knew one day went up the stairs and the next day they came down a completely different person and they don't know what's happened. So educating parents a little bit on the changes that go on in the brain and that go on emotionally for teenagers is really important, because parents will get to a place where they think, you know, this child looks like an adult. So therefore, you know, the expectation level that they're not going to make dumb mistakes or they're not going to make unhealthy choices comes along with that because they look like an adult. But the reality is the brain is still growing and developing until the mid-20s. And even the most level-headed child can make a decision or, you know, a choice that you would not expect, but this is part of growing up. And when I look at my own life, it is the moments being a pregnant teen and dealing, you know, dealing with all that went with that. Those were the moments that I built up my resilience. It wasn't in the, you know, the years of everything was going well. It's in our challenges that help us build our character. So it's so important that as parents, we allow our kids to have those challenges and not try and take them away so that, or smooth things out. Because even if we don't, you know, even if it's something really big, like, you know, 18 years and pregnant, I mean, this is a very scary thing for my parents to go through, but that's where I found out who I was. And again, really tapped into my intuition about, you know, stepping into the role of a parent. And I wasn't perfect at it, obviously. but you know, to talk about that inner gut feeling, I've really tried hard to use that as my guide throughout my life. And when I have followed it, even in the hardest moments, it has shown me the right path. And I've never regretted anything. For example, a recent example of this, I've been coaching since 2016, and I was doing that part-time. I worked at a children's hospital as well. And with the start of the pandemic, I really felt a deep calling to go into coaching full-time. It's working specifically with moms who have kids between the ages of middle school and mid-adult, so mid-20s. And my husband, to further compliment, you know, that was really calling to my heart. And I worked 20 some hours a week, and I was trying to build my coaching business on the side. My husband left corporate America 3 years ago to start a travel business. And you can imagine how travel has been almost non-existent, right, for the last 18 months. So for me to go to him and say, I'm quitting my job and I'm going into coaching full time, didn't necessarily go over well initially. However, that call, I'll just put that mildly. You can just let it.
Great timing, as always.
Yeah. I left my job at the end of 2020 to pursue this full time. And I don't regret a moment of it. Am I where I want to be? Not yet. But I know my intuition and my passion for wanting to serve and help other families is so deep. It would not be put there if I wasn't supposed to follow it. So while I'm in the moment living a little precariously, wondering, I mean, it's not so bad that we're not living under a bridge or anything, but the point is that, you know, there things
it's
are
a
uncertain.
Beautiful bridge if it was. It looks lovely in the background.
Yeah. But you know, there's no, like, I don't have any idea how this is going to be in 5 or 10 years, but I don't, like I said, I think when you have something so deeply calling in your heart to do that, I just can't ignore that. And I feel like I'm living my purpose, and I don't regret, as much as I like the job and the security of the job, of leaving that for even a little bit of risk that we're in right now.
Yeah, I agree. When you've got those calling, when that calling is so strong, you almost don't have a choice, do you? You know that it's not going to work unless you do it. It's really weird. I'm in that sort of same boat. I mean, I don't get paid to do the podcast, but I just love it. It's so deep that, and I can't not do it. I have to do it. I love it so much. So it doesn't feel like a job, but it's probably not paying the bills. But anyway,
Right. And I read a book that was so instrumental last summer. I think she's Australian, actually, now that I think about it. It's called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying by Bronnie Ware. And she's a hospice caretaker. And she wrote about her journey. I think it was 20 some years of taking care of patients in their last weeks. And the top regret of the dying is that you lived your life, that a person has lived their life for what everybody else needed them to be and not for who they truly were. So when I read that book last summer, I was like, that's it. Like, I have to do this against what makes complete sense in this pandemic. You know, I just think there's been so many lessons in the last 18 months. And one of them for me is to live for today, to live in the present moment, and to trust my inner voice. And I would strongly say that, you know, to other people, when we're living our truths, we inspire other people to do the same.
Absolutely, we certainly do, and there's no if, buts, or maybe. And it's not just inspiring other people, inspiring those people around you. You know, one of the things that I did with my children, I remember my oldest daughter, she was started going to these parties, and I was a little bit, you know, how you get a little bit not sure, they're people I don't know, you know, and all the rest. But anyway, there was a couple I'd taken her to, and I had to drive her there and pick her up, so that was okay. But then because we lived on a 90-acre organic crop farm, we were quite a way out of town. So she started doing a few sleepovers at her girlfriend's place. There's one particular party, and I thought, I'm over being the ruler. I don't want to make this decision anymore. I don't want to. So I remember saying to her, so who's going to be at this party? And she sort of rattled up a few names, didn't mean anything. And I said, so I don't know any of those. And she knew that. And I said, what I want to know is, you think about the people that you've just said, or the people that you believe are going to be at this party. How do you feel about going to this party? Now, I don't know where I got this from. It came up intuitively. I said, are you going to feel safe at that party? And you could see her. She stepped back. She had a real good think about it. And she went, you know what? There's going to be people there that I don't want to be with. And I said, well, it's your choice. Do you want to go to this party or not? And she said, no, actually, I don't. And it was so, it blew me away, I can assure you. But again, I followed what I was feeling. It was like, I am over making decisions for you. You're big enough to make them yourself. If you don't know who's going to that party and you don't feel safe, don't bloody go. You know, if you feel safe, okay, I will take you there, I will pick you up. So I started to make her become more aware and empower her to feel for what she needed to do. Yeah, it was amazing.
That's what I think our job is, especially, again, as our kids progress through high school and into their young adult years, is to be the safe space for them to be able to ask questions, think through, come from a place of non-judgment. The more our kids know that they are heard for who they are and not who we want or need them to be, the more they can explore who that is and begin to question, like your daughter. Clearly she felt safe enough, or she had thought it through, and your questioning her didn't turn her in a space of going, well, I'm going to go anyway. And, you know, she thought about it, and that's what we want our kids to do, is begin thinking about their lives and whether or not the choices that they're making are coming from friends and peer pressure or anything else, or coming from inside of them. So when we honor our kids by listening to them and giving them as much choice in their lives as we can, maybe it's about their extracurricular activities or the level of studies that they're taking in terms of if they take accelerated or unaccelerated classes. You know, if we give them some ability to have autonomy in their lives, they begin to trust themselves, and that's how we build a trusted relationship with them as well.
It also allows them to make mistakes, and you don't judge them for it. You know, like, I remember at that particular time, I did say to her, because she was worried that she was going to miss out, you know, that fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what can we do? Did your girl, I know what your girlfriend's like, and I know what your girlfriend's mum's like. Do you think, you know, she would
like them to be at that party. Why don't you get a couple of your friends and bring them? We can bring them here, and you can have a sleep over here, and you know, just enjoy, have your own party. So we made other choices for her, so she didn't have that side to it. Mm-hmm. But they were, it empowered her. It gave her the ability to go yay or nay. And like I said, it didn't work for my son, but I tried. We can only try.
Well, and I have five very different personalities that I'm dealing with as well. My youngest is my only daughter, and it keeps me on my toes. You know, I have been a parent for 33 years at this point, but boys are different than raising a teenage girl. And so the parents that I'm coaching, I'm really in the thick of that myself. And so I don't tell parents, or I don't preach or teach something that I'm not having also myself to be challenged with. And like I said, definitely listening more than we speak is one of the things that I talk to parents about all the time. And it's really, sometimes our kids are quiet, you know, during these years, and they don't want to talk and whatever. And that used to make me really nervous and anxious. Like, why is my kid not talking to me? Why is it, you know, but the reality is that sometimes they don't want to talk. And just you being there and being present, again, working on your own stuff so that you're available to them, you're emotionally attuned to them. Like, you don't have to be standing over them, hovering over them, you know, that kind of thing. But they know if they want to talk, you're available and you're there. You're actually
accessibility, there. Isn't it? You're accessible to them or for them.
Yeah. You're not sidetracked. You're not so stressed about life or all the other things, which can get very easy. We can very easily fall into that. But as I continue to work on myself, I also remind myself I'm a role modeling what I want my children to be when they're adults, and that is someone who continues to work on himself, because it's lifelong, and that I continue to have this ability to connect with them emotionally, because I am working on myself. I am putting myself first. I'm taking care of myself so that I can be there for them.
Absolutely, yeah. Listen, Kim, we're starting to get low on time, but what we've had going on the video is a little ticker down the bottom, but, of course, our podcast listeners won't see that. So I just want to let everyone know that Kim does offer a 30-minute complimentary conversation with mothers interested in working with her as their conscious parenting coach. So there is that 30-minute complimentary conversation which you can connect with. But where do you do that? Of course, you do it on her website, which is reallifeparentingguide.com. Now, I don't need to spell that because I think we're all grown up enough to do that, but it is reallifeparentguide.com. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So reallifeparentguide.com. Now, also, you can connect with her via email, which is reallifeparentguide@gmail.com. But the exciting news, why I need to stop you talking, is about your new book. And here is a picky, but you have to talk about it because obviously the people on the podcast can't see the picky.
Okay, so the title of the book is called Becoming Me While Raising You: A Mother's Journey to Herself. And it is my personal journey of looking back to move forward. So looking back at my childhood, really questioning, what do I believe about myself? Where did that come from? Is that true? And then shifting some of the beliefs that I really believed about myself for a long time. For example, I spent a lot of time not raising my hand in school, not speaking out in relationships. I had this deep belief about not being worthy of being heard. So I did work around that. And of course, I'm on this podcast now, way far away from where I live, talking to lots of people. And because I truly believe that I do have something to offer the world, and that this book is going to help many, many other people look at their own beliefs and their truths and want to work to question whether or not those beliefs are true and how they might not be serving their lives by having those beliefs they're running from.
Absolutely. Can you repeat the title again for us with your name?
Sure. It's Becoming Me While Raising You, A Mother's Journey to Herself. And I do have, so the book is coming out the middle of July, and I do have a class for moms that meets on Zoom once a week by the same name. We go for 8 weeks and we learn all sorts of things about parenting adolescents. And then I also have a digital TV show by the same name where I interview other women who are working to juggle their entrepreneur journey with present parenting. So I have three things under that title, but I'm super excited for the book to come out next month.
Cool. So they can get that on your website too, realLifeParentGuide.com, when it comes out.
Yes, and they can sign up now to learn more about when it's coming and all the things that go along with it. So
excellent. That is so cool. I think that's it. I think I've covered off everything. Have I covered off everything?
Oh yes, you have more than enough. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to have all this time to share my story with your listeners.
Oh, look, when you're sharing the story, we can relate to it. You know, it makes sense. It's not somebody academically telling you what you should be doing. It's somebody who's living it, and it might not work exactly the way you've done it, but it doesn't mean it doesn't work. And we can take those lessons and get that understanding and take it forward. But again, connect with your intuition. If that feels right for you, go to Kim. Go and find out. Go and get some understanding. If it doesn't feel right with you, if you're not ready for that, so be it. That's where we go next. It's another journey, another aspect. So I'm going to have to say goodbye. Thank you so much for coming on board. But I'm sure our listeners would love to have you back when you've got your book released. And we can go a little bit further into it, because I remember reading the back of the book and it was like, oh my goodness, it was so amazing. It was just, and I shouldn't be looking that way, but I'm looking that way because I've got the picture of the book over there. But yeah, it'd be really lovely to have you back on board and talk a little bit more about that and go from there. Would you be happy to do that?
I would be happy to do that. I'm very happy to have had the time today, but I would love to come back and talk specifically about the book as well.
Yeah, cool. All right. I am going to say goodbye to you, Kim. If you want to stay on the line, I will chat with you in a minute, but I've got to say goodbye to everybody else first. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye for now. Okay, guys, that was Kim. Really connect with her, mate. If you're having trouble with any parenting aspect, connect with Kim. She'll be able to help you. It's even listening to her podcast or her TV show, getting onto the Facebook side of things. Connect with someone if you're having trouble. When I was raising my children, when I was going through that, the only thing I had was books. And I would get books out, books, 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 because that's all we had. You've got so many options now to be able to help you get through what you need to do. So there is no excuse. Honestly, there's no excuse for you not to be able to get yourself out of the problems you may be in or the feelings that you may be experiencing. And there's no excuse not to be able to help your child as well. We've got it all here. It's all here for you. You just have to ask. So that was Kim. Thank her so much. That was really good. Subscribe to the podcast if you want to. Otherwise, you can get us on Intuitive Personal Development. I don't know why I have trouble with that. Intuitive Personal Development on Facebook, or The Art of Intuition across the all the social networking platforms. So I'm going to say bye for now because I'm running out of time and I'm talking too much again. I'll see you next week, guys. All right, all the best and have a great week. Bye.